Welcome back to the Dry Podcast with me, Matt Pink, aka the Better Life Guy. And I'm back on my own, but I have got my co-host back with me next week. She has been flying around. When I say Crystal Day, it's the she. She's been flying around all over the world. She's been skiing. She came back for a few days. We were supposed to catch up. We didn't catch up. She's gone to Italy. She's now back in the country. I've resisted the urge to call her today, but I've missed her deeply on a professional and a personal level. Hopefully she's back next week. I'm sure she will be. But I've got a very special guest with me. Anyway, we've got Steve Davey, aka Steve-O, aka the Darkness Man, aka the Legend. That is Steve-O. And if you listen to the podcast I did with Annika a couple of weeks ago, you'd have heard us talk about Steve-O so much that she told me to stop speaking about Steve-O and talk more about her. So Steve-O is your chance to shine, mate. We've got lots to get through. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastically, mate. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Yeah, it's a common theme that Annika gets maybe overshadowed. So I've got to mention her on this podcast,
Oh, don't talk about her, mate. Let's not talk about her.
seemingly.
But I just wanted to introduce you by saying, I think you were the first. You might have been the first couple that I met in the world of dry, because when we first set off, me and Andy went on a little tour of the UK and went to Ireland, went to Scotland, and went to London, and we met various people. And I always say that the Scottish crew was the biggest and probably the liveliest that we met out of everyone. And it was really odd because we thought we'd go to Edinburgh, we'll go to Glasgow, and we did both because we thought we'd, obviously people will come to one or the other. And a lot of people, after meeting us in the first city, which was Edinburgh, ended up coming to the second city and doing Glasgow as well the next day. And you and Annika were two of those people. And we met you for a little coffee by accident on the
Yeah.
first day when me and Andy were lost in Glasgow. And that's where it all started. And I think what I didn't know until I spoke to Annika was that your alcohol-free journey had only been quite recently navigated, hadn't it? By the time that was 18 months ago or so. So talk us through it, mate. How's it all happened for you from a dry perspective?
Yeah, that's right. So when we met up, I'd only been alcohol free for what, 6 weeks or so. Having said that, I had tried previously in 2020 and done like a 6 months sort of stint. Then I had one night on, then 3 months off, and then it was just back on to drinking whenever. And those 6 and 3 months stints though were done just through willpower. I really didn't want to give up. I was just wanting to prove to myself that I didn't need drink. So there's a big difference in that scenario. It wasn't till it was the end of November 2022 that I woke up and I just went, I'm not doing it anymore. And nothing bad had happened. It hadn't been like a horrible hangover. I just thought, I'm not doing it. And it was just before we went to Costa Rica for 3 weeks. So Annika was like, yeah, of course, you're going to go on holiday to Costa Rica and you're not going to drink. Of course you're not. But I didn't. And then I went to the dry meetup. So that was the first sort of meetup I'd done. So yeah, that was the first proper, I'd say, time that I've given up alcohol. I tried before, but in the back of my mind, I knew I was always going to drink again. I just knew I was, and it was great to see other people, that were doing the same thing. And as you say, it was. I think there was another sober couple actually on that meetup, but I don't think you got speaking to them because we now subsequently have spoken to them. They stay just along the road from me and Annika. So.
Is that what's their names? I think I do remember them.
Yeah, in fact, there's two. There was Kristen and her partner, and there was also Susan Finlay and her partner, Scotty. So there was actually
Yeah.
three. Yeah.
I do remember that. I remember, do you know why I remember him? Because when we were queuing up to get a drink in that, I don't even, were we in Edinburgh? I think, was that indoor place we went to? Was that in Edinburgh?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So I was queuing up talking to him, and I couldn't believe how Scottish they were. And he then ordered an Iron Brew from the restaurant. And I
Right
was
on cue.
from someone like me, I was like, oh my God, people, that's actually a real thing. I thought that was just a bit of a stereotype. But I was having a good old chat to them at the back of the queue for ages, and they were lovely people.
Yeah, it was a good hangover cue when we were actually on the piss. Iron Brew. Yeah, so my journey to that point though, was it's quite a long one. I'll try and condense it. I'm aware we've only got half an hour. So I was like most folk, teenage drinker. I always needed to be the one that took it a bit too far though when it was the drinking. And then, And through that time, I didn't have a high opinion of myself, quite low self-worth. And that was a sort of escape for me. And then the drugs came in the early 90s in the rave scene. And I was doing drink and drugs, but I wouldn't say it was abuse at that point. But then when I had some trauma in my life, a sort of relationship breakup, I was a young dad at 18. That was very traumatic, what the circumstances that happened through all that. And that's where it really became a problem, my drinking and the drugs. Eventually, about 5 years after that, in the mid-90s, I'd sort of got myself sorted out, but I was stuck with depression for a long time. Maybe like a 10-year bout of trying to battle depression, and that was quite tough. But I got there, and through the end, at the end of that, I was like, okay, I've always seen myself as a failure. I'm going to go prove myself I'm not a failure. And I focused everything in my sort of material world, trying to get a better job, trying to get a better house, getting promotions, stuff like that. And for all intents and purposes, I had sort of succeeded. Fast forward to the pandemic, and then things are breaking down again. Obviously, we were stuck in the houses, didn't get to see family. My dad was ill, pressures at work, and I went off work for with stress and anxiety. And that's when I took up like yoga and meditation, and started looking inwards. Because I still felt there was something missing. I had a beautiful wife, a beautiful house, but there was still something missing, mate. And it wasn't until I started looking at that, my life started improving. Like doing all these sort of holistic types of practices that really, really had a benefit to my life. And the last thing I did was go sober. Everybody else seems to do it the other way around. They go sober and then they find the interest. I found the interest, but I was doing it with the drink. And I sort of use an analogy of like all those practices were like me building a car, and then going sober was the fuel. As soon as I went sober, it just accelerated everything. This car I had built, it just hurtled it down the motorway that like a million miles an hour. It's such a revelation, that brought everything together.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story, mate, and something that I can relate to definitely. And I think it's that familiar path of, oh, drink drugs, that's fun. We're in our youth, we can get away with it, and then trauma hits, bang, oh shit, that's not a very good, foundation for a solid life when you've been basing your lifestyle on drinking drugs and all the other stuff. Then you go through a bout of depression in your case, or suicidal thoughts, or downward spiral. And then you sort yourself out, and then you throw everything into materialistic world, and then you think, oh, this made me happy, this watch, this house, this car, and then you realize that don't work, and then you start looking inwards. And I think it's interesting that the difference in your story was that you're looking inwards while you were still drinking, because I definitely wasn't and wouldn't be able to. I think, like you say, when most people stop drinking, they have more time, they have more energy, they feel more connected spiritually. And then they start that journey. So you were basically going out on the piss and then still meditating on of a night. Is that sort of
That's
how it works?
it, man. Yeah, I was doing that, and I did see benefits. Like my sleeping patterns were better. I did feel a bit less anxious, so when I went off work, I was stress and anxiety. Actually, I was off work for 3 months. I ended up like just shutting up because I developed a stutter. I couldn't speak. It was like I wanted to speak, but it wasn't coming out. So I just said nothing for I was so quiet for that 3 month period. But I do believe that was my body or something guiding me, saying like, right, okay, it's time to look somewhere else. You need to look. There's something more that you're looking for that you've been searching for all your life. And that was like that deep connection to myself. And a proper connection to others through the community, like of the sober community and other, holistic practices that I do, like actual genuine connection, that you just didn't get when I was down the pub talking about football, saying the same things that I'd always said a million times before. It just didn't happen. I know that's what my body was yearning for.
Yeah. And what so you spoke about that day in November that you woke up and thought that's enough, and you said it wasn't on the back of a big sesh, but what was it then? What do you think it was that caused you to make that decision on that day?
I don't know. I can't nail it down. I suppose one big thing, and we're going to have to talk about Annika here, because I looked at the change. Like Annika had been what, maybe sober, certainly over a year by that point, and I'd seen the huge change in her. She was like a beacon, I suppose, to that space where I looked at her and I seen someone who became very confident. who was very more relaxed than she was before, didn't worry as much. And it just made me think, you know what? Maybe I should give that a bash again. Maybe I feel that it gets time to give it a bash. And since that decision, honestly, my life has just rocketed. Like the I thought I would lose all my friends and I wouldn't have a community. I've got more people now in my life that are called genuine friends than I've ever had before. I maybe had a few before. Obviously, I've got a few before and I still have them, but it's just expanded so much and the opportunities have expanded so much,
You are one of those people that, I mean, it. I don't think I've ever spoke to you where you're not doing something at a weekend, which is a sober meet up, a retreat, some sort of, I don't know, whatever retreat. And I think you and Annika both thrust yourself full force into the sober community. And I get jealous. I can't lie to you. I get jealous because I've got so many kids, and your kids are obviously grown up. And I'm in that stage where I've got young kids, I've got older kids, and I've got a bit of everything. So that generally is football practice, swimming lessons, parties or whatever, which is brilliant and I love it. But when I'd love to be able to do more of that sober stuff. And I know that my day will come. And one of the highlights for me of the year slash of my sobriety slash maybe of my life was going to Scotland with you a couple of weeks ago when we went down to what's the place? I can't say it, KM.
KM, you almost had it there. KM,
KM.
in
So we went,
Perthshire, yeah.
and Steve-O's been a member of After Sessions. We started my men's group, and we, a few of us, it was all really random how it happened. Steve had been and it sort of waxed lyrical about it, and it was a bit off piece for us, really. But weirdly, everyone sort of jumped it, and six of us went up there into Scotland a couple of weeks ago, and just in the most beautiful weekend. And this place, this purpose-built house that's got like a retreat up a really steep hill. But we all sort of stayed, there's like communal sort of toilet area where it's really nice and clean and smells beautiful, and it's not, it's just built beautifully. You just feel very comfortable there. And then there's like a little roundhouse where you do like meditation work, and it's all like open fires and the dog running around. It's beautiful in the middle of the scenic hills. It's just beautiful. And it's especially for someone like me who's a townie and a city boy. To go up, I just found it incredible. And then on top of that, the work that they do up there, Rory and Shannon, the two that own it slash run it, we just had a free, I think it was 2 nights, 3 days together of just a proper connection. And it's only the connection you can get when you don't drink. And it's, for six lads that don't know each other too well in person, but do know each other online because we chat most Fridays. I don't know, it was a bit life-changing for me.
It's
And I think,
powerful, isn't it? Yeah, very powerful.
yeah, it was me. And I think for someone who's 4 years down the line on this journey, you do get a bit like, what next? And there's only so many ice baths you can have, or run marathons, or climb mountains, or and I think the journey of healing, I've always sort of shied away from slightly, perhaps because I know what's in there, which is probably why I know it's going to be quite powerful, and I need to be ready for that. And so I've always kind of kept busy, but it definitely, just by doing some breathwork sessions, just by group meditation, just by spending time talking openly in person with friends and people on the same journey, powerful, mate. And I came back a different person, I think. So I just wanted to thank you for that, and also back up what you're saying, because I get it now. I get all your healing journey. I get your journey. I get why you want to do more of it. I get why you throw yourself into it. And I'm definitely going to be exploring more of it as and when life allows.
Yeah, my biggest buzz is switching new people onto it. So when you guys said you'd come up, I knew you were going to get like some powerful experiences. And that was the case. It certainly happened for me when I first went up there. I found that the sharing circle is ex like when you start sharing about your past and everybody does it and it's very vulnerable, especially for men who don't generally do that sort of thing. I don't know, it's like a release, like stuff comes out. And from going up there, it gave me the confidence. I'd written a book and I didn't want to publish it because I was like, who am I? Who am I? Who's my story? Who's what to listen to me? What have I got to say? You know what I mean? Like that inner critic was always there. When I started doing these things, it went, do you know what? Get back in your box. I've got something to say. And hopefully someone said to me, your book can be somebody else's guidebook in the future, your story, your journey. And a bit like you in your book as well, Matt. It's the same thing when you've got that story. People can connect, you know, like that. Oh, he's a guy from a housing estate that's just like me. It's not somebody sitting about like with incense candles. And, you know what I mean? It's just like we're not like the stereotypical woo-woo people, but I consider myself completely woo, you know? And as I say, like when you guys committed to coming up, I knew it was going to be a powerful thing, and that's so it was. It was really good to see the smiles on the faces as we left, and like a fire burning in your eyes that, you know what, I want more of this. I want more of this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That inner work is so key to everybody. And I think there's people like me that know they've been through past trauma and know what sort of you've got to be ready for that. There's people like you that have gone through your depression and you're ready to attack it now. There's people that out there that don't think they've had any trauma, which I used to be one of probably. And actually, once you start piercing that veneer, and that's what I found most powerful, even just through the breathwork session, just opening the door to that. Because that's how you describe it, isn't it? Like everyone suppresses all this past experience, emotion, trauma, hurt, but you don't really know about it consciously. So you think there's nothing there, but once you go into these breathwork sessions, you start to pierce that veneer, you start the pressure releases, and that comes out in the form of some people laugh, some people cry, some people are whirling around. It's different for different people, but that gave me enough of an inclination of actually, A, there's a lot there, and B, I actually don't think it would be as traumatic to get on that journey as I thought it would. In fact, I felt almost quite peaceful, and I felt I was laughing for some of it. So I think I'm sure that'll change throughout. But yeah, I'm excited to get stuck into that, mate.
Yeah, it's a powerful thing. You can look at it, you know, some people think trauma is what's happened to them, but it's not what's happened to you. It's your reaction to what's happened to you, and you can reframe that. You know, you obviously it can be a devastating thing like you went through. You know, we've all got different stories, and it's not like trauma trumps. It's a case of whatever happened to you obviously had an impact on you, so you can reframe that story. It's just a story. It's just what you're telling yourself, you know, and you can reframe it, and sometimes you can learn from it. And on top of that, the biggest thing is you can make that your strength. And the strength is that you know how, like, you can empathize with people who are going through the same thing, and you can turn that strength into helping other people, which is basically my main mission from the rest of my life. Until that moment I'm on this planet, I want to help other people who are suffering. That's, you know, that's my main aim.
And you are, mate, you are doing that. And talking of suffering, I want to bring you on to something you've been speaking about to me and the office sesh lads for a while, and something that's getting actually remarkably quite close to actually happening, which is for me is slightly anxiety inducing. But for you, I mean, you're ready for it. You're the main man. But I just want you to tell people what is this challenge you're doing in the summer? Give us a bit of an idea of exactly what it is, because for me, it is probably the ultimate challenge. So fire away.
Okay, yeah. So to give some context, myself and a few friends have set up a charity, a mental health charity called Enter Holistic Healing. So what we're hoping to do is, you know, switch people's heads on. There are actual other ways to heal yourself other than just pharmaceuticals and the traditional methods. And that's not to say, you know, that the good people who work in the NHS and that are not doing good work, but they're under so much pressure they can't handle the amount of people who have got, you know, mental health crises is going on in the UK. It's impossible. Having been through the process myself, you know, it's a case of here's a pill, go and stand in a queue for 9 months before you get help. So we're hoping to, you know, open people's eyes to things like yoga, breath work, meditation, sound healing, and nutrition, which is a real important one that people don't really relate to. So to do that, we're going to need a bit of money. We've just launched today, actually, and I have just launched a fundraiser. So I think that's what you were alluding to. So we are called to Enter Holistic Healing, and I'm doing a challenge, let's call it, called Enter the Darkness. And what it is I am going to Germany, and they do retreats over there that are called darkness retreats, where you are locked in isolation in a, well, not locked actually, you're placed. You can walk out at any time if you want. You're in a room in isolation and complete darkness. Now, not a room without windows, it's just complete light. No light can get in complete darkness for 7 days on my own. And I will eat, sleep, go to the toilet, be fed, and all in darkness with no contact with anybody else. Now, people are saying, why are you doing that? Well, for me, when you need to face your darkness before you can come into the light. You need to walk into the darkness when you are depressed. You need to walk into your challenges and face them. And this is going to be a challenge when I'm walking into the darkness and I come out on the lightest day of the year, just as if it was meant, on the 21st of June, which is the summer solstice. So yeah, that's the challenge that I'm doing. I'm also doing it, as you'll probably notice, I said in Germany. So I'm a big Scotland fan and I'm going to miss the first two Scotland games. So for me, that's a huge sacrifice. Like, I go to home and away matches, and for me to do that, I'm hoping it'll get some traction in the news. You know, Scotland fans will say, wow, that's a big effort for this guy to do, and maybe donate some money. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's going to go through the news cycle as they do at this time of year, starting to build up for the Euros. They want football stories, some mad Scotsman doing something crazy. Well, I hope I'm going to be that guy. And it's not for me to get recognition, it's to get the money in for the charity, because we're right at the beginning and we need as much money as we possibly can. So yeah, that's the challenge that I'm going to do. I get two reactions. Either some people say, well, that seems quite good, or mostly people say, you are off your head. So that's the two reactions I get. There's no middle ground.
Yeah, I think it's the duration for me. I think, could I sit in a room for 24 hours on my own in the dark? I probably could. It would be a challenge, but 7 days, 7 days and nights. I mean, that is unbelievable. And I'm excited for you because I know mentally, I think you're ready for it. I don't doubt you'll do it. And I'm more interested to see what happens on the other side of it because from what I've heard from people that have done it before, not no one's I know that has ever done it that long, by the way, is you. Your senses, you start to adjust, don't you? You start almost being able to see, and everything gets heightened. Is that right?
There can be a few things. They say, I've watched a few documentaries, and it's a case of, like, sometimes they say, like, the light comes out of you and you start seeing pulsing lights and images in the darkness, almost like hallucinations. So it's in some ways, it's like SAS training when they do things like that, and punishment. But traditionally, it was a way of getting closer to God. It's in a monastery, that's why they did it. So it can be quite spiritual. It can be quite. You're actually going well in, because you've got no phone, no people, no distractions. And how often do you get that ever in life? Never. It's just never happened, So I'm hoping, I do meditate every day. I've do got other practices, so I'm quite used to being in my mind and being quiet. So, but don't get me wrong. When I first thought I'll do it for 5 days, and I thought, right, so if you think you can do it for five, you need to push it. So let's do it for seven. So that's why I ended up with the 7 days. And it just so, as I say, it just so happens that the football kicks us off on the 14th and the solstice is on the 21st. So it's and Scotland are playing Germany in the opening game, which is just even more remarkable as a Scotsman being in Germany doing that task. So yeah, a lot of things are aligning.
And Dry Fest is the day after. You're going to miss it.
I am, unfortunately, yeah, it is. I'm going to miss it. I'm sending my second Annika down, though. She'll be there. She'll hate me for saying that. Yeah,
I
Annika's
know.
going to be there doing tarot, isn't she? So
Yeah, got it. But I just think that's unbelievable, mate. Have you? Well, I've got so many questions on this. Have you been? What can you do to basically prepare for it? Are you like extending meditations or what? Putting the lights out while you meditate, or what are you doing?
yeah, so I normally have a mask on anyway when I'm meditating. So not always, but like I have been recently, just putting like a mask on and extending it. So I'll do like a maybe guided meditation, and then I'll just sit for as long as I can, and it's really peaceful. You end up if I've been able to extend it, so I've not got any thoughts. That's not always the aim of meditation. People think it is, but you can reach a point where you're just sitting there in awareness, and it's almost like you're just about to fall asleep, but extended, that sort of blissful feeling. So it's really quite good. And then I'll do breath works, stuff like that, and yoga. I'll need to do like press ups and move some sort of movement, obviously, because I'll not be moving. I'm used to going to the gym, I'm used to doing stuff like that. So that's going to be a challenge. But eating's going to be the real tough one, I think, like, because you get delivered it and it'll be in the dark and you don't know what you're eating. Do you know, like, where's your knife and fork? What are you eating? You can't do it. So it's, I don't know how I'm going to do that one. So
Do you know what they give you? Do you know the menu before you go in?
I know it's vegan based, so it's all like vegan vegetarian based, but that's about it. And I'm taking a dictaphone in with me as well to capture my thoughts. I'm gonna have to tape that up so it's not got any light on it at all. So there's no light coming out of it. But I'm going to capture my thoughts because I'm sure all that time there's going to be some stuff that comes out of me. Hopefully, I'm hoping for like my intentions would be like creative ideas. You know, creative ideas about the charity, about my life, what I wanted, other things that I want to do. Maybe what my next challenge will be. Who knows? Yeah.
And what about time? Do you know you have no concept of time?
You'll have no concept of time. I'm not sure about the feeding. Like, I don't know if they feed you the same time every day, or if, you know, I'm going to ask them that they don't, because if they do, then I know what time it is. I'd rather like they've done it at 8 in the morning for my breakfast or something like that, and then 10 and then 11. So I just don't know. Because otherwise, I feel like I'll be tethered to the outside world. I'd rather just not know.
Yeah. Wow. That's going to be a hell of a challenge, mate. And so to just remind people where, how can people donate?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a link to post in the show notes. So it's if you go to Just Giving, it's Enter the Darkness and Just Giving. But I'll put a link in the show notes so that people can donate to. Yeah.
And is that link in your Instagram bio or anything like that?
It will be. It's not at this moment, but as soon as I come off this show, I'm going to be changing it over because I've got two links in there. I've got one to my book and one to my Substack. So I'm going to have to change it over and just put the link to my Just Giving. And I'm Imperfect Steve Davey on Instagram.
Perfect. All right, mate. We'll put that in the show notes. That's going to be incredible, mate. And to give up the football as well. Like, I know you're a big fan. That is, I mean, you're going to be. It's be interesting to see if you can care, because you know what I mean. I think the thing with spirituality and stuff, once you realize that you're born like a nameless soul and you've got this purpose line that you've got to find, and you realize that the language you speak, the accent you have, the people you meet, the food that you drink, eat and drink, the team that you support, it's all conditioned, isn't it? And it is learnt behaviour. And I wonder if you can almost, it'd be almost quite a nice thing to shed that, wouldn't it? That's the ultimate freedom, to get back to who the I want to say the Steve that was born, but not even Steve, the soul that was the baby that was born, and
No, for
rediscover.
sure. Like, through meditation, that's where if you do practice a lot, that's where you get to. So when I talk about that bliss state, it's just the awareness, because that's what you are. You're basically, when you're born, you are aware and you are you, but you don't have any labels. You've not consumed anything from reality yet. So, and you can get back to that. So yeah, I think you're right. It's my, you know, it's I wouldn't say it's a purpose. My purpose is to be me. But it's a drive that I have to do this sort of work. So, you know, it is getting secondary to the football. But as you say, it is important to me because it's like I'm not an England fan. We're not there every time. Do you know, but like I've like the last time we were there at a proper finals, I don't count the pandemic ones when nobody was allowed in and it was just a half-hearted effort. It was 1998. So it's been a long time. And I was at the World Cup for 1998 and I've not been since. So, but I suppose maybe I'll be rewarded because I will see the last game. So maybe I'll come out and we'll qualify this time from the groups for the first time ever. So maybe that'll be my reward. Who knows?
Yeah,
Let's make a prayer that it will be.
I hope so. But you'll have to make sure you definitely come back on here and tell everyone, because there'll be loads of people thinking, oh, yeah, that's half the story, which is inspiring. But I think everyone would be more interested to hear how did it go, what were you thinking, what was the biggest take out? Because that for me is, because you don't hear that every day, you don't hear someone doing that. So yeah, I'll be well interested to get you back, straight back on, mate, once you've recovered. That's one thing I just wanted to add, actually, because I know people are probably curious. How do they adjust you into the dark, and how do they readjust you back into the light after that long?
Yeah,
They don't
so
just open the door and go, wakey, wakey, do they? That's
no,
probably dangerous.
they don't. They've got like properly trained people who like psychologists and stuff before you go in. They probably take me through the process of what might happen to me through the journey of being in there. And then when they take you out, you are your masks, but they take you outside. So they take you outside into the gardens. There's this beautiful gardens that this monastery is based in. and then they will remove the mask very, very slowly. And I'll probably have to keep my eyes closed and then blink them a few times, quite a few times before I adjust. From what I've seen of people who have done it, almost everyone cries, and it's usually tears of gratitude because all the things that have been taken away that you feel thankful for, your family, your friends, your pets, whatever, seeing the football, who knows, you start, but you just have a deep sense of gratitude. So I've been told, not that I've done it before, but everybody I've seen cries. Just it's like an overwhelm of sensory, intake. So it can be quite overwhelming, I think, for some people. But again, you've got trained people there who can help you through that. And then I stay for another night there just to readjust, and then I leave. So.
Brilliant. Well, good luck, mate. I'll be speaking to you before and after anyway,
Yeah.
but thanks for coming on. And like I said, anyone who wants to donate, which I have, and everyone, if you can give a quid or whatever, it'd be useful because I think it's a great cause and a hell of a challenge. And then all the details will be in the show notes. All right, anything else you want to say, mate?
No, I think you've covered everything there. Yeah, any donation is welcome, folks. So yeah, if you can, even £1, I'll be more than happy with that. And I look forward to coming back and speaking to you and telling you about all my adventures over in Germany.
Top man. All right, mate. Good luck. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch you next week on the Dry Podcast.